Hello everyone, it's Nick Iodanza here. Welcome to another episode of the Survivor Know What Does for Australian Survivor. I am so pumped to bring you a good friend of mine and someone who I've been dying to talk to, the winner of Survivor Millennials Gen X, Adam Klein!
Woo! I am so pumped.
Excellent. Good. That's exactly what we want to hear. I hear that you've been, you've got a lot of thoughts. You've been loving this season. It's been so good, as you said.
This season is so much better than yours.
Adam, I'm well documented in agreeing with you on that. This is so much better. And people say to me like, oh, you would have been so much better on season two. But, you know, I'm happy that I was part of season one.
If you weren't on season one, Nick, I'm not sure that there would have been a season two.
Adam, that's very kind, but probably not true. But thank you. Everyone is so excited to hear what you have to say. I've got so many questions for you. And I hope they're not going to be disappointed because you are underwhelming in real life. I don't think this is what people don't.
You better get ready to be disappointed. I like people to have very, very low expectations.
No, Adam.
The worst I can do is match them.
Adam, no, you're great. What have you been up to? Just give us a bit of a round, you know, what have you been up to since it's been a minute. What have you been up to?
I've been doing I've spending a lot of time with my family. My dad and I are hanging out a lot. We've been doing a ton of traveling. I've been doing a lot of speaking engagements. It's sort of my new thing. I'm doing a lot of fundraising for different lung cancer research organizations still. We've raised about $500,000 now, and we're still raising money. And so, you know, if anyone wants a speaker somewhere, hit me up. You know, that's sort of what I'm doing now. I'm doing a lot of traveling, a lot of speaking, fundraising, and spending time with family. It's been good. It's been a lot of fun. You know, Survivor has been so good for my family for so many different reasons. And it's just, you know, it's opened up doors. It's given us things to focus on. It's given us a lot of fun in what otherwise would have been a really dark time. And we're doing pretty well. So it's great. Everything's going really well.
Awesome. Awesome. And, you know, you came to Australia earlier in the year and we got a chance to hang out, which was super fun. You became like an honorary member of the Australian Survivor cast because you met nearly everyone.
I met 14 of you.
You met more people than I did. Really?
I met people before you met them.
Yeah, definitely. True. Very true. But no, that was great.
Time in Australia. I loved it. And we did a watch party in Sydney. We did like a hangout in Sydney. We did one we did a watch party in Adelaide. Pretty much everywhere I went, we met up with like other fans of the show and like people from the cast, and everyone was so generous and so nice. I had such an awesome time there.
Awesome. Well, we loved having you, and I loved getting to hang out with you and your dad and teaching you how to eat Vegemite properly.
I had never liked Vegemite until you made me a piece of toast. Now I know you put a very, very small amount.
Yes.
Like people are like, oh, try Vegemite. And then you like heap it on a piece of toast and it's disgusting. Just a little bit with a little butter, nicely toasted. Now I know.
That's right. See, it's not as bad. So guys, we have lots to talk about today, so I hope you enjoy the chat. We've got plenty to talk about. We're going to get to your questions. We've got a return of one of everyone's favorite games that the great Shannon Gates has researched for us today. So that'll become. Sorry, what was that?
Big Shannon fan.
Yes, Shannon's the best, and
in Australia.
She has come up with a great game. Again, this is the return of Idiot versus Idiom. So that'll be back and we'll be giving out the DQ award. We've got a ton of questions. So Adam, if you're ready, let's dive right in.
Let's do it.
First of all, give us your overall thoughts. Have you been enjoying what you've been seeing?
I love it. I think it's actually a really, really good season. You have a ton of people that are there to play. The dynamics of both tribes has been really interesting. You've got Henry that's just like blowing things up all over the place. Like, I don't know if it's just to make entertaining television, but it certainly is, you know, switching over from one tribe to the other when he was in control and then he's not. There's a lot going on that, you know, it has definitely put some people in danger, but it's making for entertaining television.
Definitely, definitely. We've had so many people who have come to play, and that's something that a lot of people have noticed. So let's start with the top story, which was, you know, so we're covering episode 10 and episode 11. And at the end of episode 11, so episode 11 was a non-elimination episode, and we get this huge thing, this announcement that everyone will be playing for the ultimate reward. So, and that ultimate reward was this super idol. So before we get to the specifics of the super idol, did you like this structure as a non-elimination episode? Because we all know that Australian Survivor, it's not like American Survivor. We have more episodes than contestants. Non-elimination episodes are just a thing that we have to deal with, and I don't mind them. But what did you think of this one as a way of getting around that problem?
Yeah, so they have to do these, obviously, because they can't, you know, certainly, like, they certainly can't eliminate two people in one episode, which is why, like, if I were Tara or Annalise in that situation, I'd be like, okay, well, I'm definitely not getting voted out, right? Because yeah. There's no way that two people are going home in one go.
Exactly.
Then they have to make another non-elimination episode. So they've got to find ways to do these. The question is, can they do them in a way that doesn't totally mess up the game, right? You know, how can you add in different twists? How can you do swaps? How can you have a vote at tribal council without just putting random, like, oh, but tonight you're not going home, like, non-elimination legs in the Amazing Race yep. at the end of the episode? Like, that, I don't like when they just surprise people with, and you're not going home. Because yeah. when you go to tribal council and the understanding is you vote somebody out, they're out of the game unless you know in advance that that's not going to be the case. Like, if there's Redemption Island, you know that they're going to, you know, that there's Redemption Island, that they're going to come back. I'm okay with that. But when you have no way of predicting when or how those things are going to come, it takes power out of the hands of the players. And I think it makes people play safer, or it should make people play safer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
So for this one, this, you know, the idea of the winning tribe going to tribal council and voting for someone to get an advantage, I like it. I like that premise. I like it in the sense that you have to have a tribal council. You have to have a non-elimination. At least this one, you're telling people up front, you know,
yes,
there's something else here.
Yeah,
do I like the
I think so.
Specific advantage? No, I think it's terrible.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that bit. Let's kind of just step it through. So I'm okay. with you. I like the fact that there was still the drama of the vote, and it was interesting because you see people that are, you know, Survivor. We're so conditioned to see people throwing other people's names out there and keeping their name out of the conversation that it was kind of fun to see people figuring out how to get your name into the conversation. Like, that's something yeah. that we've never seen before. And I thought that was kind of cool. Did it pay off in a big way? Not really, but it was interesting nonetheless. I like the idea of voting for the ultimate reward, but I think that the problem is that these rewards, these idols, these advantages, they're the best in the hands of a schemey person. And in this setup, I just don't know if a schemey person is ever going to get the ultimate reward. It's always going to go to the person who's the safest. Like, it seems like AK, who's clearly the schemiest person on the tribe, or seemingly, his name wasn't in the mix, and it never was going to be. And I think for him to try bring it up would have been a mistake. So it's always going to go to someone else.
I think he knew that. It seemed like he recognized that it would be playing too much, too hard to try to get everyone to vote for him. I did notice that Tessa threw out her own name, and I think this is the first real indication on the show, even though you had to imagine that it's been brewing, that they see each other, that Tessa and AK see each other as threats in the game. The fact that they both knew that the other person wanted the advantage, obviously, and both were very enthusiastically throwing out someone's name that was not the other person.
Yeah.
I think shows that while they trust each other right now, while they're working together right now, I don't see either of them wanting to go all the way to the end with the other one.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'd sign off on that. I think that the problem with the way that the vote worked was because that it was too public. And this is something that I thought was tricky with season one. And, you know, for, people might not know this, but at the end of last season, you know, I was asked to give a bit of feedback to Channel 10, you know, on what worked and what didn't. And one of the things I said of my like two or three bullet points, like I said, the main thing is advantages can't be public because they take away their power. The beauty is when Wentworth pulls out an idol because no one expects her to have it and Savage goes home. And if everyone knows that someone has it, it doesn't work. So I feel like it's good TV when it kind of creates that paranoia. But yeah, it's just too public for me.
Yeah. How are you going to introduce something like this at a tribal council without making it public?
I have no idea. But I just feel like it's a little bit more of the same as what we saw last season, which, you know, is good TV. It makes good TV, but it's definitely difficult to navigate in the game. One of the things that I wanted to talk about was Lockie trying to get the reward. I thought was so funny and like, points for trying because you have to try, but like he really had no way of throwing.
Wasn't gonna work.
It was not. I was like, yeah, right, buddy. Okay.
I know you don't. You don't like that it's public. Someone on Reddit, if I'm remembering correctly, suggested the idea of that they announce that a different idol, but they announce it like, here's what it is, and that it's actually a normal super idol, like the one that Tony got. So it's more powerful than what Ziggy actually got, but the disadvantage being that then everyone would know that she has it. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's a bit better. It's because it's like, okay, it's going to be public. Well, we're going to make all of it public, but to counteract the public nature of it, we're going to talk about how powerful it is. Like we're going to make it even more powerful. So
right.
I get that.
Really scrambling to get it if they knew that that's what it was, right?
That's true. But again, the same thing would happen. Like she's essentially immune for like the whole show. Like I don't see how someone could get out with that in their pocket. So I don't know. I think whoever.
Well, you're not immune for the whole show if everyone knows that you have it. The whole group is then going to rally against her to try to flush it at some point, don't you think?
Well, she would have to flush it, but like they would. You know, they wouldn't be able to blindside her with it. So they'd have to kind of like get, you know, mount two attacks on her essentially.
Right. I think that could have been a fun alternative to this, something that would have worked better than what they came up with.
Well, let's talk about that. So Ziggy is the choice. And I think that in that moment, Ziggy was the right choice because she's like she's a safe choice for the Alliance. And like the fact that she's physical can kind of counteract Lockie's argument about I'm an all-rounder, you know, give it to me, like I'm strong. I loved when Lockie was like, he's like, guys, I know what it is. It's a night on exile. I'm physical.
It's a night on exile. Hey, he had to try.
I'm physical. I'm happy to do it. It's like
respect trying.
It's so funny. It's just like I'm an all-rounder. I feel like saying it's not Game of Thrones. Like we're not electing a champion to go into battle for you. It's like you're not going to like head over to Exile Beach and have to face off against the mountain. Like you know, it's like it's a reward that the other tribe will not get access to. So you don't have to fight for it. So I thought
was this thing not going to be found?
That's the thing.
Is there any chance that Channel 10 allows this thing to not be found when the entire episode is about the most powerful advantage in the game?
Look, I don't want to say I do not think the Survivor like would rig it too much, but I don't think it would have been difficult to find because the drama is in will she find? That's what they're trying to sell. Like, will she find it before sun comes up? It's like. I'm pretty sure she's gonna find it before.
She's definitely gonna find it. Otherwise, this is the dumbest episode ever.
Imagine if she was like, "Wow, that sucked. Like, I had this chance and I just didn't get it." All right, back to camp.
I would love that. She'd be like, "No, I actually didn't find it." That actually would be super interesting because then she has to go back to camp and she says, "Look, guys, I didn't find it." And they're like, "Yeah, right. You didn't find it. No, really, I really didn't." That would be. I would love that.
She'd be like, I'm tipping out my bags. I'm cavity searching. Like, trust me, there's nothing.
I really didn't find it. I really was that bad. That would have been fun.
So let's you say you don't like the idol. Let's kind of clarify because I needed to go back and look at the listen to it again because I thought that it was still there's two idols, right? And they fit together. Yeah. And I thought, okay, because they fit together, the power comes from them being used at the same time. But they actually don't. No, it's actually two separate idols. Two separate
powers.
Yeah. That,
two distinct advantages.
That just so happened to neatly fit together into a thing, which I think is really, what's the word? I think it's really confusing because we know that if something, two things come together, it's like, and this makes even better, but it doesn't.
And once again, Australian Survivor is changing the definition of a word that we all know to be true. This is not a super idol. This just like when you merge, when you're actually talking about a swap.
Yeah.
You merge into another two or three tribes. You swap into two or three tribes. And this is not a super idol. We all know what the super idol is. That keeps you safe after the votes have been read. Come on.
Yeah. I'm with you. So the first half is the super idol, and that cancels an idol. And the second half is just a normal idol. So there's no power if they're combined. And Edwin Johnson says, Adam, is the super idol really that super?
Yes. It's powerful for sure, but it's the dumbest power ever. It's terrible for television. It's terrible for gameplay. It's bad for television because – an idol play is an exhilarating moment. It doesn't happen all of that often. And when it does happen and it's played correctly, it's really cool to see happen. And then, and it allows someone from the minority to take down someone from the majority. That's an exciting thing. With this, it just takes that away. Oh, that was going to be exciting, but now it's not going to be. On top of that, from a gameplay perspective, it's literally the easiest advantage to play. It is so extraordinarily easy to play. It takes zero brain power. You will always play it correctly because how could you not?
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. And that's a really good point. All you have to do is just always have it in your bag at Tribal Council.
Yeah. And then if the person that you're voting out plays an idol, you're like, nah.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I disagree with you about that it makes bad TV because it'll be that awesome kind of moment of like, oh, these people think their plan is going to work and they're getting all, you know, excited that they've got this idol that's going to, but we know that there's this other thing. It's like that dramatic irony for the audience. Like, you know, we have this extra info that some of the other people don't. And it's kind of like, it reminds me of like when, you know, maybe someone's playing like an idol that they don't know is fake. And like, we know that they're going to go home, but they don't know. And that's kind of like what I like that. I think that's kind of interesting. Do you see the comparison there?
I get it, but it's the majority that's going to like, the rich are going to get richer. You know what I mean? Like this only works for the majority. And the last thing we want to see as like viewers is just for the majority to like keep picking off the people in the minority, right?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Because how could you use this to your advantage if you're in the minority? You can't. It's only for people that are already in power.
Well, there's also a chance that the super idol, the canceling idol, there's also a chance that won't get played because that person can't use it to protect themselves. And I know that she has another idol that she can kind of, that she has, that'll probably get her further, but she has to be at the tribal council, not have been voted out, and also want to scuttle the idol that's being used. So she has to, you know, idol plays are, you know, somewhat rare. There's been quite a few this season, but like they're somewhat rare. And, you know, she might be in on the plan already. So I could see a scenario where it actually doesn't get played at all.
Yeah, but so, okay, so the best case scenario is it doesn't get played. If it does get played, it's because she's in the majority and they're using it to just continue to take somebody out in the minority. And if it doesn't get played, it means she's in the minority and we never get to see it get played. So it's like it's a lose-lose. Like it doesn't – I don't see any situation in which this makes for like – for good TV or gives someone an advantage when they need one. You know what I mean? I like advantages that like can help somebody out when they're on the bottom, get maybe an extra vote when they don't have enough votes, an idol when they know they're getting targeted. This is an advantage that is exclusively for the rich, the wealthy, and the powerful.
Yeah, well, look, I'm more hopeful than you are. I think it's going to be interesting. I like putting a new spin on it. So I don't know. It's not what we know of the Super Idol, but I'm interested. So watch this space. Watch this space.
I've one more suggestion for that. Someone from Reddit said, which in response to me saying I hate this, they said that if it were, what did they say? If it you had to play it before. Before the idol is played, that way it takes a little bit of skill, and you play it on the tribal council as a whole, not on any one individual, because that would be too difficult to play. But you just say, like, at this tribal council, anyone who plays an idol, it's going to be canceled out.
Yeah, but then wouldn't people not just oh, okay, I'm not going to pull my idol in.
No, you do it in secret. When you go
In secret.
You put it in the urn. You say, this cancels, you're like, I'm playing this advantage that is going to cancel any idol that might get played.
Okay.
And that puts the power back into the hands of the players, who now can actually change the way that they vote as a result of that. Now they don't need to split the votes. You know what I mean? They can go all in on one person and use the advantage.
I like it. I think that's great. I like the idea of putting it in the urn. I think that's good.
Yeah. Cool. And then you actually have to decide when to use it, as opposed to just waiting until your enemy plays an idol.
Yeah, right. I like that. I think that opens up. It definitely adds more skill to it, but I do think it opens up the fact that it will be less successful, but which, you know, is good and bad. So, no, whoever came up with that, good on them.
I'm going to find that so that they get some credit there.
Okay, good. All right. Let's talk about something else, another major point from episode 11, and that was these items from home.
Caesar's Pal. There you go.
Who?
Caesar's Pal on Reddit.
There you go. Caesar's Pal. Well done, mate.
Or Jack Gravity. Yeah, both of them. They had the two different ideas, something like that, I think.
Look at you just biting everyone's ideas. okay, so the other thing that kind of came up was this, these items from home. And did you like the way, and you know, it's and Mike Bloom noted that it's an interesting timing to get you on, considering, you know, the episode where you had kind of information from home and all that stuff. What were your thoughts on the way the show did it, where they just kind of like, they were just at Tremal, everyone had an item?
You know, it was in this most recent episode, right? When they, so it added on to like the episode where no one's going home. So I definitely understand why they did it. It normally seems strange to just like give people stuff without having to like compete for it or whatever. But in this case, given that it was a unique episode already, I think, you know, it was all, it made it just a really positive episode, because, you know, you're voting for someone to get something.
Yeah, right.
They're getting love from home. Like, you know, I like seeing positivity on the show. I like, you know, when people hear from their families, because whether you have something very serious going on at home or not, being in this environment where you can't trust anybody and then just seeing anything from home that just is a reminder that like there are people who you really can trust. No, you know, no matter what, it of course brings me to tears every time, but you know, I cry if a pin drops. So
well, you mentioned that, you know, this information from home, and we got lots of cool little items which we can talk about, but the main story that kind of came out of from this was Henry's story. And this was a story not for the other contestants, it was a story for the audience. And Henry reveals to the audience that three or so weeks before the show started filming, he lost his mother to pancreatic cancer after a three-year battle, which is, you know, look, this is something that both you and I have kind of bonded over. This is something that was part of my journey and my, you know, my mother's, you know, losing my mother to breast cancer a few years ago. And obviously everyone knows the story of your mother and your journey with that. But Henry's decision not to tell tell his tribe. Can you speak to how difficult that is to not reveal such an important information to you?
I don't want to presume to know what's going through Henry's mind. And no, I haven't had a chance to reach out to him and I want to, and I, you know, I want him to know that all of my love and strength and support is with him. Pancreatic cancer is a brutal disease. Brutal. It's up with lung cancer. It's like, it's, you know, it, they just don't have the answers for it yet. And it gets diagnosed way too late. And people just don't have enough time. And so, you know, I don't want to presume to know what he's going through, but at least with me, when something like that happens, it consumes you. It consumes every thought that you have every single day. You know, you're constantly missing her. You're constantly thinking about her. And this just happened to him. Yeah. I mean, everything that he's doing has to be sort of like put in the context of, you know, he's going through probably one of, if not the most difficult time of his entire life. And so to not talk about it when it's literally all that you think about and it consumes your thoughts is exceptionally difficult. You know, it's the reason why these things tend to come out like in confessionals.
Yeah.
It's the only time and place where you really have an opportunity to just sort of have a good cry, to let it out, because you certainly can't do that back at camp. And it hits you at moments when the game hits you. So like when I found my idol, that's when I just sort of, I didn't have a choice anymore as to what I was feeling. Like,
yeah.
But I had been thinking about my mom before, but then add on the emotional gravity of finding a hidden immunity idol on Survivor and knowing how that would make my mom feel, like it forces all of the tears in your body out of you.
Yeah.
You know, I'm impressed with how well Henry has done, you know, despite what he's going through.
Oh, look, I was a mess for months, you know, for months, and after my mother passed away, and I couldn't even imagine 3 weeks afterwards going out and making these kind of do or die decisions in a game and you know, and performing and being charismatic and charming and affable to be around. And I give him such respect for being able to do that so quickly. And it's a tricky thing, but I've really felt for him. I thought that was such a nice moment where he got the necklace, which was his mum's. And, but yeah, I can't believe that he held it. I couldn't hold it in. I planned to not tell anyone what had happened. And I told people within, I think by day seven, I had told people. So yeah, it was crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. And like, you're so right. You have to look at his decisions through the lens of, you know, his emotional situation.
I love what he said though about, like, you know, I told her I was going to win Survivor. So he is focused on, it's, and you know, I got it a lot. I'm sure you got it. I'm sure Henry's getting it. The trolls on the internet who are like, well, if you're so upset, like, why are you going and playing Survivor? Like, you know, you seem upset. And for him and his family, he's doing exactly what he needs to do. I mean, he is living out his dream that I'm sure his mom wanted for him every step along the way. And he is using his mom as inspiration to do well, to make her proud, even though he knows deep down that he already has made her proud, but he wants to feel that in a real, you know, in a big way.
One of the things that came through chatting with you, Adam, is that like how you said that it kind of gives your family something to kind of rally around. And I can relate to that. And I know that's huge for your story. And I feel like that would be something that he's kind of thinking about out there. And so good on him, good on him. And I hope that he can, he's made some tricky decisions in this game, and we'll get to those in a second. But I hope that he, I don't know. I just hope that he feels comfortable with the decisions he's made and that he's super happy with them, because I give him mad, mad props for being able to do it.
Look, Survivor has been so good for my family. Yes. Like for my mom, I gave her something to look forward to. Yes. I gave her joy, like real genuine joy in her final months. For my dad, it gave us something to sort of distract us a little bit after my mom passed away, with watching the episodes, and something to do together as a family that was really meaningful. My brother got super into it, and he got to come out and join for the loved ones visit. And he actually met his girlfriend at the live reunion and after party. So it's been so good for my family, and I just know that it will be, and or I think I know, and I really hope that it will be for his as well.
Yeah, good. Well, let's start transition, talk about some of the other items from home. I love them. Did you notice that there was a little bee hat? That was one of the Boston Rob hat was one of the items. I thought that was
yes.
A little bee.
It was someone's dad's, right?
Yeah, it was Michelle's. I think it was Michelle's dad's little bee hat. Yeah. I don't even like the little bee hat. I thought that was a nice little moment. But I loved Annalise's t-shirt. That is the coolest t-shirt.
Brilliant.
So good.
She's a cookie. She knows, like, or her family is, at least, like, she's hasn't had a change of clothes for 3 weeks, and now she has a clean shirt.
Yes.
First of all, it's an awesome shirt. And second of all, now she has a clean shirt.
I thought that. I think it was sad. One of the things that was sad was that everyone got to explain, you know, not to confessional, but like, you know, we heard about Odette's son, and, you know, everyone got to at least say what their item was. Everyone but Jared. Literally everyone said what their thing was except him. And my heart just sank for the poor guy. He had this cool little thing. It was like a little book or like a little gold canister or something like that. And everyone explained, like, he's like, oh, I got a Thomas the Tank Engine. Oh, I got this heart attack of notes. And, you know, it was the hat that was my dad's. And everyone said it except him. And I just feel so bad.
Has he not had a confessional since like episode 3?
So Matt tweeted this out, and I don't know if this is true or canon, but Matt said that he now is officially takes the record for the most episodes in a row with no confessionals in Survivor history.
I don't understand. Like, he's not in the background. Like, I feel like he's been a presence on the show. Like, I know who he is. I know what alliance he's in. I know who he's closest with. You know, so we see a lot of him, like, in discussions and stuff.
Yeah.
But how come we haven't heard any of his perspective?
I think that because his perspective is similar to AK's, and AK is much more dynamic when he talks, that they can just tell the story through AK, which is a shame. But they're clearly working together, and they're clearly like on the same page. And I think it's such a waste. It's such a shame. Like, there are lots of people who aren't getting shown, but like, it's such a shame. I feel like I feel like Jared and Peter are the two biggest shames of the people that we're kind of like missing out on. But like, if you go to Jared's Instagram, this guy lives a wicked life. He is no wallflower. And I think that, that the show's really kind of like missing out on stuff there, which
he's playing a great game too, because definitely, he's not only in a solid and seemingly trustworthy alliance, but he's also got in targets in front of him in Tessa and AK and maybe even Ziggy that are perfect shields for him.
Yeah, and he has a very strong awareness of the game, I think, because like when you know, he had the idol played on him by AK, he's like, now everyone's going to think we're a pair. We got to make sure.
Right.
And then, you know, same as like, oh, no, you can't nominate me for the super idol, and I can't nominate you because then people will think we're too close. So I think he's got the really good read on the game. It's a shame that we're not seeing it.
Yep.
One of the other,
and he seems real good at just making relationships with people.
Yes, definitely. Love Jared. One of the other things that kind of happened in episode 11 for the Summertown tribe was Lockie not being able to start the fire. And they have this swap where they, you know, bring all of their stuff to Jonathan. And let me just say, we did this last year and we had to wait. the show said we weren't allowed to bring our stuff to the challenge. We had to go to the challenge, ask Jonathan, and then bring the stuff the next day, which essentially made it drag out for another 4 days. So that's a little bugbear of my own. But so they swap, they get this flint, and Lockie's hangry, and AK is baiting him. How did you feel about AK bait? What are your thoughts on AK, by the way?
Oh, I love AK. Are you kidding? The guy is TV gold.
Yes.
He came out swinging and was able to recover from, you know, some overplays, and has, you know, one of the most important things in Survivor is to be able to recover from your mistakes. I definitely made mistakes, but I think I won in part because I was able to recover from those. And that's what you're seeing AK do. You know, some people, when they dig themselves into a hole, they keep trying bigger and bigger and bigger things. And it doesn't work. You have to pull back a little bit, and he's certainly done that. But he's pulled back in a way where he's still in a real powerful position. He now seems to have people that trust him around him, and he gives great confessionals. So of course, big AK fan, and he's doing my initials proud.
Yeah, he is. I loved him kind of just like, I love hearing his take when he says, you know, Lockie's angry. I'm going to keep kind of, you know, keep making him angry until he explodes so that the, you know, the alliance doesn't kind of like think he's someone that's good to work with. I love that. And I love the sequence of AK being like, yeah, nah, it's too windy over here. And then, you got the wrong sticks. It's like AK's like that person in the group assignment at uni who just does nothing but points out the flaws of everyone.
And so this is where, as someone who has played the game, I notice the power of editing, you know, in a real dramatic way, because this clip could have been played in a way where people hate AK.
Yeah.
Right? They could show it entirely from Lockie's perspective, be like, this guy doesn't do anything and he's just telling me what to do. But it's an editing decision to allow AK to explain his actions, even if in that moment AK, you know, really was just kind of like being a jerk to Lockie and like not doing it intentionally. There is an opportunity for AK to explain his actions as being intentional. That's something that not everybody, you know, not everybody gets that sort of benefit of the doubt or that opportunity to explain their moves as intentional when, you know, in the edit of the show.
But I agree with you, and I thought the same thing. But, like, everyone does get that opportunity. And this is, like, you know, and I know that we're talking about, you know, Jared hasn't been shown or whatever, but, like, if Jared providing in the confessionals? I'm sure he's giving great analysis and what he's saying is correct and all that. But, like, you need to remember that you're making a TV show, and if you want your viewpoint to get across, you have to do it in, like, succinct sound bites in a way that, like, they will want to show. And AK does that. So his perspective comes through, and, you know, you can't hate on it. Yeah. You have to give them what they want.
I'm not hating on AK
talking about the general.
They showed populace. Him doing that, and that they showed it being intentional, but not, you know, even if you're giving the good confessionals, there's just not enough time, at least in the US version, to show exactly what everyone's thinking every time they do something. Like, if somebody I'm just making up an example, who knows if this is true or not, but, like, you know, Scott and Jason and Ty put out the fire or whatever, you can edit that to be like, these guys are villains, they're just putting out the fire. Or you can show them being like, I'm putting out the fire to as a game tactic to get in these people's heads. And then, yeah, they're still a villain, but they're at least like, you relate to that a little bit more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just, if you want to get on the show, if you want to get your viewpoint out there, be snappy about it. Let's transition to episode 10, because there was a lot of stuff in that one. And this is the episode where Kent goes home. And Kent was someone who I loved watching. I don't know what your thoughts were on Kent, but I think the show wanted us not to like Kent at the beginning. Maybe they wanted us to think like maybe he was just like a little bit grouchy. But I think his kind of genuine kind of just the way he is kind of interesting and funny. I think that comes through and came through a lot in his boot episode.
I love the strategy to find the dickhead.
Yes, yes. And I will be speaking with Kent this afternoon, actually. So look out for that. We get this whole thing about Kent versus Michelle. And it's just like, did you feel like it just kind of came out of nowhere? Like, why haven't we seen this before? Have we not? I feel like it was very, there was a lot of, you know, they were calling each other their nemesis and all this stuff, but it was, you know, this is day 20 something. Surely there's been some stuff that's happened that built up to this point. Like, I feel like there would
be some stuff. No,
sorry.
I thought we had seen some stuff of them not getting along or targeting each other. No, not at all.
We did, but it was very light, very light. I was hoping that there was going to be more because I feel like they were the new Dez and Kat, you know, like the new kind of, you know, the grouchy man. Hey, Michelle, I just don't like you.
I don't like Michelle.
We kind of missed out on that. But
I love Dez.
Yeah, we'll get to Dez again. Dez is coming up again later. Kent says, he goes, you know, after Jackie's voted out, everyone's waiting for me to do this big dummy spit, and he didn't. And that shows he had real control in the game. But, you know, Michelle's saying that he's 22 days past his expiry date. I love that. I thought that was funny. But, you know, what did you make of Kent's strategy? So, you know, everyone's, you know, you come back from tribal council and, you know, everyone starts kind of scrambling around collecting firewood. And, you know, when you're not really collecting firewood, and he decides to set up his little shop, his little kind of kissing booth down on the beach. What did you think of that?
That's tough. I mean, it depends on, you know, what you think your position really is. Like, if you think you're dead in the water, then, and there are times where talking to people might actually be futile. And in that case, maybe maybe it is the best strategy to just make yourself look as weak as possible, to show that you're not playing the game, to just sit there and pout and do nothing. And then people think, oh, you know what? We can save him for a rainy day. He'll be easy to get rid of later. You know, so that can be a viable strategy. It's a real tough strategy for a lot of people to enact, because if it doesn't work, and most of the time it won't.
Yeah.
Then you feel kind of
regret,
like silly. People would have a lot of regret about that afterwards, because they're like, I didn't do everything that I could have done. Whereas if you go out kicking and screaming, you know, it draws more attention to you. You may get targeted even more forcefully as a result, but at least you leave saying, you know, I tried everything,
yes.
Right? I played, I fought, I clawed, I scratched. It makes for better television. Maybe you're more likely to get invited back in the future or something like that. But what he did is not as like stupid as it might just seem. There is some merit to that, I think.
Yeah, I don't think it was stupid. I think it takes a lot of self-control, because I certainly don't have the control to sit there while like the game's moving around me. I want to move with the game. But I think that people we've seen this before, where people are trying to get the votes to come to them. So they're trying to make everyone think that they have an idol. So like, I'll just be like kind of cool, calm, collected. And then people will be like, why is this person so relaxed? Maybe they've got an idol. So I feel like we've seen that before. But I thought it was really good, because you will eventually get customers into your shop. Like, you will, it will happen. It might take a while. And in that 30 or so minutes when you're sitting there, you are biting your nails going, this is not working. But it will happen, because people want to chat at that point. People are trying to get in touch with everyone. And eventually he had Tara come over and Sarah come over. So it was, I don't know, I thought it was interesting. The show definitely made it seem like it wasn't working, because at the beginning of the next episode, I don't know if anyone noticed this, but in Jonathan's, you know, previously on Survivor, and he's like, but Kent was shooting blanks.
And I was like, for 22 years.
I was just like, is this because he's wearing those budgie smugglers? Like, is this why he's shooting blanks? Like, come on, Jonathan. Yeah.
I also think with someone like Luke on his tribe, who we've heard, you know, has a problem with like people telling him what to do and or authority. You know, it may be the right strategy with someone like that to get them to change their mind, you know, to just sit there and do nothing and not try. But, you know, it could have backfired on Tara, for example, for, you know, first trying to like tell Luke that she wanted to go in a different direction.
Yeah, well, you bring up Tara and Luke. So Tara starts, you know, she's just made it through. She's been swapped over. She survived the first vote and she starts pushing hard for Michelle. And I just don't think she's got the capital to do that. Do you? And Luke points that out. He says, you know, I think you can call the shots, Tara. Points for trying, blah, blah, blah. Is that what you do when you're the new person? You know,
no.
We've all been through swaps. Is this what you do? Do you push that hard?
No, absolutely not. She should be very happy that she has, you know, worked herself along with Annalise into this group. She should be biding her time now and just trying to create as many options as possible by working on her relationships at this point. She's in a position where most likely she's not going to get targeted. And so until you hit emerge, just work on your relationships, try to build as many connections as possible because you're going to need them. The other tribe voted you out. They are probably not going to be trustworthy allies moving forward. So you need to, you know, really work on the relationships of the people that you have at this point.
You need to throw your lot in at that point with the majority till you can get to the next step in the game. And I know that kind of goes against the idea of, you know, playing hard and, you know, always kind of pushing, but it's, you're like that first iteration of a swap tribe, you're in such no man's land. Like, you no longer have your old tribe. You aren't quite with the majority. You have to make hay while that sun is shining. You can't be kind of trying to, because you can't be trying to steal the, you know, the steering wheel away from someone else. You just kind of have to be sitting riding shotgun at that point. And if it's Kent that's going home, then it's Kent that's going home. You know there's going to be another swap. You know there's going to be a merge. Like, you have to play safe for a little bit if you want to play dangerous later.
A 55-day game is a marathon. It is all about riding shotgun.
Yeah.
If you're not riding shotgun, if you're the one calling the shots in the pre-merge, $10 says you're not making the final two. Okay, name all of them that are calling the shots right now. AK, Luke, Tessa.
Henry, none.
I would bet that none of those people make the final two.
Yeah.
Not one of them.
That's a pretty safe bet to make, I think, in Australian Survivor.
They are all big threats. Each alliance is going to have somebody that's toppled from it. And it's going to be the person that is the ringleader most likely.
Well, like, everyone is so power hungry this season. I'm sure you've noticed this. Like, you know, Luke is like, you know, and I've covered this before, of saying that, you know, he hates people being in control, but he is always wanting to be in control. You know, I love when he was like, he says it in a funny way, so it's endearing. When he's like, the real Asanga is whoever's Asanga with me. I'm the real Asanga.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, that was good.
As confessionals.
He does. He really does. That was good. But, like, you know, he's grappling power and saying, you know, oh, no, I've got the power, blah, blah. But then we've got Sarah, and she's like, you know, I've got the power now because she's with Annalise. And she's like, everyone wants the power. You don't want the power.
You want to be next to the power.
Yes. Yes.
You want to be underneath the power, especially in Australian Survivor. But there have been times in American Survivor where people have been able to go through the entire game as the biggest threat in the game, and it takes a very exceptional person to be able to do that. I don't see how that will ever be possible in Australian Survivor with 24 contestants, with 55 days, with all of these like crazy twists and opportunities for people to get targeted for various reasons. You have to bide your time.
Yeah. Yep. If only I had known. Yeah,
you know who I think is like a perfect example of that, and also like I want to be friends with him, Jericho.
Yes,
I think Jericho, you know, it helps that he's as a smaller guy myself, I can relate to this. Like, people sort of want to take you under their wing a little bit. Like, they, you know, they see you as, you know, like a good sidekick. That's exactly what you want to be. Seems like everyone wants to be like Jericho's sidekick a little bit. You know, even though Henry's giving him a fake clue, there's still just the fact that he's like giving him something. He obviously wants to work with Jericho, you know, and then Jericho's just like working on relationships, like giving out cookies. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. He says, yes, people think I'm helpless and struggling and I'm going to use that to my advantage. You're 100% right. Okay. Like he definitely does portray that. And everyone I've spoken to in the exit interview, I've asked a few people who are on Asanga, like, what did you think when you watched back the thing about the cookies? And they were like, we couldn't believe it. Like, I couldn't believe that he was doing that. We never would have suspected, because he was right. Just sweet little funny Jericho, you know?
Yep.
He's playing it really well. What did you think about that? That whole note thing that Henry passed over to him at the challenge?
Oh, Henry just really throws everything at the wall, doesn't he?
He does.
You know, I don't know about that. You know, I think he could have just said, like, you know, there's a way to like get back in Jericho's good grace. Is just being like, hey, regardless of what happened with Jackie, like, I'm with you, you know, save a spot for me when I get back, kind of, without giving him something that ultimately is going to come out that he sort of screwed him on. As soon as Henry pulls out that idol, it's going to be very clear to Jericho that he sort of always had it. So I think it's a good move? No, I don't.
Yeah, but won't it be clear earlier than that? And Clayton O'Dell like wrote in, he says, surely Jericho will know that Henry would not leave Asanga if he had an idol clue. And that makes sense to me. That it's just like, what? So why would Henry leave? So if Henry didn't already have the idol, why would he volunteer to leave a tribe where he's not only got power, but he has a lead on where to find the hidden immunity idol? Like, shouldn't that be going through Jericho's head?
I would also be asking myself the question, why is Henry leaving his tribe when he has a majority, but a very small majority, and now two new people are going to come in that can be scooped up by the minority and take out his closest allies? I would also be asking myself that question.
Yes, we'd be asking a lot of those questions. He says that giving the note was to reestablish trust, or to establish that trust again. But, you know, a few people kind of like commented that they thought maybe he was trying to trip up Jericho, because it kind of like puts a target on Jericho, because he'll be out there scrambling around and people will think he's dodgy. Do you subscribe to that way of thinking?
No, I don't. I think he's actually trying to build trust with Jericho. But, you know, truth has power in the game of Survivor, right? And lying is not typically a good way to gain trust.
Yeah.
Like, I lied as little as humanly possible in Survivor. And you have some people come out there like, you know, oh, I'm on Survivor. Like, Survivor is about lying and scheming and whatever. And they just make up stupid lies. Like, who was it that said, I think they're all gone now, the people that were part of that fire making challenge. But someone, was it Adam that was like, we caught fish and made fire. No, what is the point of that? What are you trying to accomplish? That people, you want people to know that you're untrustworthy?
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Talk about stupid stuff.
I got branded as someone who lied so much. I had one major lie with the idol clue, and it was dumb, you know, the way it cut. But, like, that never escapes you. If you get caught in one lie, you are toast. And I think that you're so right. You're so right. You cannot lie in Survivor as much as you want, because it will come back. It's verifiable. Yeah. You know, the cookies thing with Jericho, that is verifiable when now Henry goes. So say Henry is now at the other tribe and they're talking about Mark had this, you know, oh yeah, a couple of days ago, Mark had this thing where he could have chosen the cookies or he could have chosen the fire. And he's like, oh, a whole jar of cookies? Jericho told me there were only two cookies. You know, like, you can't, there's too much room for mixing and matching and it's just too long. Your lies will catch up with you.
It's why I didn't trust Figgy on my season. You know, she would just like come up with like just kind of fun lies, you know, like lies that weren't that big of a deal. But it was like, if you're lying about this stupid stuff, you're gonna lie about everything. You think that's, you know, that's Survivor.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't work with that.
No, you cannot. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, while we're here, we're talking about Henry now, you know, at Summer Tower. He notices that the alliances were much more fluid at Asanga. And I think this is kind of like his part of his maybe regret as he's thinking through the process, that he's come to Summer Tower and there really isn't a fluid structure. There are five or so people in charge, and then there's Lockie on the bottom. And he's definitely getting – is he getting this kind of hubris edit when he's saying, you know, I was in control, I'm in control, I'm going to get them back, you know, these idiots, I set up the game and they don't know how to play anymore, blah, blah, blah. Is he too confident in confessional?
Oh, well, I mean, clearly. I mean, it's not that that his original tribe are idiots. It's that he clearly didn't realize that there was a mobilizing force that had been gunning for him and Jackie already. He should have realized it because they got votes when Ken went home. I mean, Jericho and Luke voted against Jackie. So he has to know that is building, right? Yeah. That there's already a contingent in the tribe that wants them gone.
Henry is a hustler and he's so smooth and I love it. I love watching it because he makes such good TV. So he's a producer's dream because he's a dream. Oh, he's a dream boat. Like he's like so good looking, and he gives
such a good season.
He's really good casting. But what did you think of his, you know, his game? I think he called it Henville or something like that. I don't know, I had like flashbacks to like Farmville. But what did you think? That was just too obvious when he was like going down the beach and riding in the sand and setting up a game show.
Again, it's another bit like sort of big move by Henry, but it's not smart. I mean, even if it works, like you're so much about Survivor is about building relationships individually with people and being as small of a threat as possible in large groups. When you're with everyone and you're the life of the party and it's obvious that everyone really likes you, that's threatening to every single person in the group.
Yes.
When you're hanging one-on-one with someone and they like you, then they want to work with you. It has to be individual. You can't make these big grand gestures in front of everybody and think that won't put a target on your back.
Yeah. He was essentially like, you know, it's very metaphorical. And I've been talking about this on the podcast for the last few weeks, that it was this metaphor for him trying to be the ringleader. Like he was the one, he was the game show host. He was the conductor of this kind of symphony. And he was trying to position people like along this kind of ladder in the sand or whatever the game was. And it's too representative of what he's trying to do. But I appreciate that he doesn't just sit back and let it happen. Like, so, you know, I know it's contradictory sometimes because sometimes you got to play big and sometimes you don't, but you know, it's like you said, it's just too out in the open. And I really liked your explanation that you don't want to be big in the big groups.
It's too public.
It's too
everybody public. Sees it. Everybody sees other people's reactions to you.
And weren't the reactions great? Like we get AK saying, you know, oh, he's so smooth. I'm encouraging him to be so smooth so that other people see it. You know, and then Tessa, I loved Tessa. And I know whether it was edited this way or what, she goes, you know, oh, Henry's so fun. And the music cuts. So he's got to go. I loved that. I thought that was awesome.
Yep. You've got a bunch of gamers in this group and yeah, it's not going to work with them. It's like when Dave at that challenge and on my season was like, you know, oh, you guys go ahead and play. Like, I don't want to hold the tribe back. Beautiful moment. Love Dave. Like, you know, love Dave even more as a human in that moment. But in the terms of the game, it's like, Yeah, not allowing that to happen at the final.
Good, yeah, exactly right. And the other piece of the puzzle that could kind of make, you know, these Summer Tower dynamics interesting, and I know we've got a swap coming up and we'll talk about that later, but, you know, is Ben. And I would have loved to have seen what would happen if Summer Tower went to Tribal Council with the configuration that they had, because Ben is kind of this, like, he's, you know, saying that he's going to move away from, you know, Henry, but, you know, we don't really know where he fits. I love that he was saying, you know, no one's been a dick to me yet over here. Clearly he was like bullied by someone. I'd put my money on like an Odette or like a Jackie character. And he's, you know, saying he back there, he felt like he was the pipsqueak. He was getting wedgied. What are your thoughts on Ben? You played with someone who was like really, really young in Will. Kurt Clark wants to know, is he the Will Wall of this season?
Definitely. I mean, just listen to his voice. Oh my God. They talk the same. They both have that like, that low voice with that confidence where they, you know, very well spoken. I think, I did Ben just become a challenge beast in the last episode?
Yes, he did. He was the hero.
He like knocked both of the last two things off. Those are the hardest two to get.
Yeah.
So, he's been playing way too much beer pong.
So proud. So proud. I actually really, 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 really enjoy watching Ben. And we're just like, I wish we were getting more, but again, he's probably not providing, but.
Seems like he gives strong confessionals.
I think it's the same thing that like Henry is to Ben what AK is to Jared, that they are just kind of like sucking the life out of the confessional counts.
I think it's actually the reason he's not getting airtime is similar to why Will didn't get airtime in Millennials vs. Gen X. It's not because they don't give strong confessionals. I think they're both very well spoken, but it's that they're not relevant to the storylines.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. I mean, Ben is clearly like, you know, he hasn't been the one making the moves. It seems clear. Obviously, well, they're swapping next episode, right? So His tribe never went to his new tribe never went to tribal council. Yeah. There's just no reason to highlight his story. It also tells me he's not winning the game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I want to go back to the other big point of the season of the episode. Sorry, and this was Annalise's idol. I loved this whole sequence. I thought it was so fun. We have this ice cream reward that the new version of Asanga goes to. They load up on ice cream. Have you ever seen the double cone, the cone on top of cone action?
Oh, yeah, that's great. Cone was Jericho doing that?
Yeah, Jericho's cone on cone action. I liked it. Someone asked, where was it? I think it was... Clayton or someone said, you know, is Jericho, was he trying to eat his way to an idol clue? Is that what he was doing?
No, Jericho is just being funny. Jericho's also ham. He's clearly like hamming things up for the camera. But, you know, he's doing it in a fun way. So I don't mind it. But like, you know, those big licks of the ice cream are not coincidence.
Did you find that when people were on a reward, that is when they hammed up things the most?
Yeah, I mean, like I remember we walked out to like the pizza and fried chicken reward, and I mean they tell you like, all right, get excited, like you know you're about to walk in, and like so there's definitely a little bit of like, okay, you're on reward, like let's
chew the scenery and the food.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought, you know, I remember Matt sculling like a giant thing of milk on my season, just like, and I was you're hamming it up for the camera so, so badly. And look,
Matt's a ham.
Yeah.
I love that. Matt's a total ham.
Yeah. Well, we're all hams, but, you know, it's just like a reward seems to bring it out of people the most. And, you know,
That's his business.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved Annalise that she got the clue. I couldn't quite figure out, was it like in the cone or was it in the ice cream that she scooped out? I'm not quite sure. But so Annalise gets the reward. Awesome.
Annalise has the best facial expression.
Yes.
She is either always like in total focus mode or she has the best like surprise faces. Or she's so invested. You can tell she's like so into it. I love that.
I am digging Annalise hard. I think she is so fun to watch.
I agree.
And I love that, like, she loves being out there. Like, you can just kind of
feel it.
You can feel that she is, like, a massive, massive fan, and it comes through, which is awesome. So she gets this idol clue, and I loved that her little kind of like trick of going and pulling the husk off of the palm tree. And the reason why
I couldn't believe they were falling for it.
They were, but like, I think it's good because I don't know, I know about in Samoa, I don't know what it was like in Fiji, but in Samoa, those pieces of kind of like hessian husk that fall off palm trees are the perfect stuff to start a fire. And once you use them up on the trees near you, you lost them and they never come back. So right. I think.
But who's thinking about that on a reward?
We did that. Like at the letter reward, we gathered like coconuts and sticks and stuffed our bags with them because we had like run out of stuff on our beach because I was on the beach that she was on and it was really, really crappy. Like there's not much there. So I liked the trick. I thought it was good. But the best bit about it was bringing in Sarah.
Perfect. I mean, this was good for her game. Anyway, I was saying before this episode that the best thing for her and Tara is to bring in Sarah. And that's the best thing for Sarah too, because they're in a six now, right? With Luke and Jericho and Michelle, those three are tight. So you need a three to counteract that.
Yeah. I thought that like, it's really, really, really risky bringing someone else in and you have to have crazy levels of trust to do that. And I think that at that point where she was, she needed to take the risk. And it's such a good one. Do you disagree?
Yeah. Well, I don't think you need to have that level of trust. I just think she needs Sarah in her game. And this is going to build that trust.
Yeah.
I don't think necessarily she already trusted Sarah wholeheartedly, but that doing this would create that trust.
She is she's now in a really good spot. I love the way they were speaking to each other. Talk to me about this idol in the challenge. Are you a fan of that?
Yeah, it's fun. I think the idols hidden at challenges are a lot of fun. It's interesting that like this one was and like others aren't. I can't remember where the other idols have. Like, so, okay. So Henry found one at Asanga, right? And then anyone ever find one at the other?
Yep. So AK found the one that Adam didn't find on the beach in that little island thing.
So did they rehide that idol or is this just a new one?
It's just a new one. I think they want as many idols in the show as possible, clearly, because there's been. Sorry, and Tarzan found one as well. So we've had.
So that was the re-hidden AK idol, right?
No, the Tarzan was the re-hidden AK one.
Right.
And
so hide one after Tarzan?
No, I think they've just because that was at a different beach. I think maybe they're just because they know that Henry's idol is now back at the other beach, and there's no idol in play at Asanga.
Yeah.
That they wanted to kind of have one in that kind of dynamic, and I'm okay with that. I think it's good. I think there's been a lot of idols and I know people don't like too many, but I liked it. I loved it at the challenge. And I love that, that it's always so sporadic. Like we had it with Wentworth and Jeremy. And then like we have it a bunch of seasons later with Troyzan. And now we're getting it randomly in Australian Survivor. Like I like that there's no pattern to it.
Just a fairness question about this idol. The other tribe, they've won rewards, right? They've won most of them.
Yes.
So, why this reward with this tribe and not the other rewards with the other tribe? Isn't that inherently unfair?
Yes, but Survivor's not fair. Clearly they just never.
Especially Australian Survivor.
Australian Survivor does not care about, parity across tribes and things like that. They really don't. They just look at it. I think they assess it on an episode by episode basis. What can we add that's going to make it interesting, that's going to mix it up? And it stuffs people up and it helps people out. And there's just really, it's like trying to fight the tide. It's always going to be there and it's always going to disappear and it's always going to come back. And that's it.
Well, I love that Annalise has it. I think she's in a really interesting position for it. It's like, where does someone like Annalise and Sarah, like, where do they fall after a merge? Because you've sort of got these a few different sides brewing, right? You've got Luke's Alliance, which includes them right now, but I think sort of somewhat tenuously. You've got AK and Tessa's group on the other side. They're going to be all like collecting numbers. And so it'll be curious to see like where they end up falling. But I like Annalise having it. I think it'll make for something interesting, unless you've got that stupid power in the game that's just going to ruin everything for either Henry or Annalise, right?
Yeah. I'm really interested to see how it goes. I think that the Sarah Annalise kind of like, they're going to be in that little middle chunk. They're going to be get to decide where they want to go. And I think that's the new story. That's the new story. Cause as Sarah says, I don't want to go along with the Luke Jericho thing. They've got too much power. So again, right. these power hungry people that are kind of like trying to grab whatever they can. I thought that the challenge, it was so frustrating. Like Annalise standing there thinking, you know, oh my God, why did I tell Sarah? She's not even going to have to grab it. Like I can grab it. Or am I even going to be able to grab it on my own? I thought that for such a dud challenge, the Survivor gods shined down that there was at least the idol drama kind of keeping it going, because how would they have edited around that it was such a blowout?
Yep. So who's on the tribe that had Jackie and Kent? The only person left on that side is Odette, right?
Yes.
If I'm Luke, I think now's the time to take out Sarah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good call. Good call. Because, but I think she's so unassuming, though. I think seems so much better to the audience than she does out there. She's
more dangerous than Odette. And, you know, she's going to build some forces moving forward, I think, whereas I'm not sure that Odette has the gameplay to be able to do that. Although maybe she doesn't, we're just not seeing it.
But this is what happened last year with Christy. You know, you leave the person just to kind of like float around, and what's going to happen? They will become dangerous, because, you know, everyone has the capacity to be dangerous, even if they're not dangerous at that point. So I don't know. Sarah is clearly dangerous. And I want to talk about Sarah because I love Sarah. I think she is so good at this game. She has a way, and I've spoken about it every week on the podcast, but there was a couple of comments that I thought were just really important to highlight. When Annalise tells her that she found the idol, she sits down and she says the perfect thing that you want to hear when you are sharing an idol with someone. She says, "This is your idol. I don't have claim to it. It makes me want to work with you." Like, could you write a better script?
No, she's real good.
It's so good. It's so good. And another thing that she said was, you know, they're trying to figure out who to vote for, whatever, and they know that Tara's walking towards her. She says, "Tara's going to be sick of all this strategy. Let's just lock it down." She knows what everyone wants to hear, what everyone has to hear. She's so perfect at it. And
she's the best social player on the island, probably.
I would say so. I would say so. And I said this last week, she's unflappable, I think. She just knows how to just kind of get the info in a really measured way. She's unassuming with the way she talks. Evan spoke last week about tone of voice. You know, she goes up to Kent into his little kissing booth thing, and she says she gets the info from Kent about who the numbers are. And when she's doing that, I don't think she really has any intention of working with Kent. But I think she's just trying to kind of gather some info, make it seem like she's working with him, so that if for some reason he can pull something together, he's not going to pull it against her. And I love it. What do you think on that whole idea of giving someone who's clearly going home a glimmer of hope?
It's not my style, but it works for a lot of people.
Yeah. I think that's what she was doing. She was giving him the glimmer of hope to kind of, so that he wouldn't kind of like be able to flip it back on her, because he's tried to flip it on her before, you know, the previous week. And I think that she was right to do that.
Yeah. I mean, she's been stuck, you know, for someone who has such a great social game, she has survived only on the strength of that, because she has been put in some predicaments where she's basically had to turn on her allies. and so she needs as many friends as she can get at this point, because if I'm on that beach with her, I see her as someone that is social enough to swing to another group, but not necessarily going to be incredibly loyal.
Yeah, agreed. Oh, she's good. I can't wait to see what happens. Adam, we've got a bunch of questions here. We've got so many questions, and I want to thank everyone for sending them in. You were all so excited to send Adam your thoughts. We're going to try and get through as many as we can, so we're going to answer them, try and do them a little bit quicker than we usually do, if you're okay with that, Adam.
Rapid fire.
Excellent. So Mike Bloom says, I'd say both this season of Survivor AU and Millennials Gen X has a vibe of things not getting too personal and people reveling in the idea of playing the game. What do you think of this comparison?
I totally agree. And actually, Jeff, I was just the cast for Heroes vs. Healers vs. Hustlers came out today. And Jeff Probst, in his interview with The Hollywood Reporter with Josh Wigler, said kind of a similar thing, specifically about Millennials versus Generation X, about how people at the end of it were like, yeah, you beat me. Like, that's it. And they can they can play a super cutthroat game and still like each other at the end of it. And I definitely see that in this, and I think it makes for a great season.
Good. Edmo wants to know, would you have approached the Kent kissing booth?
No, probably not.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think I would have. Not if, like I said, you know, that's it, like Sarah's approach works for her. It's not really my style, and it would actually make me a little bit nervous about someone like Sarah. You know, if the plan is to vote out Kent, no, we don't really need to.
Sure. Interesting.
Yeah.
Cool. Sarah Pace wants to say, what is a viable lie that Ziggy could tell about revealing what she really won? Should she tell an outlandish story, say that she failed the mission, or tell the truth? What would you have done if you had won it?
Well, she has something to show that can separate. I think she brings it back and she says, this is an idol that allows me to cancel someone else's hidden immunity idol.
Yes. So this is what I was thinking. She shows one part of it, talks about the power it has. People are scared to play an idol around her. And then she has the other one tucked away in her pocket.
Correct.
The only thing is that in the preview, she's walking back carrying some giant box with things in it. I don't know if you noticed that. So I don't know. I think there's more to it that they're going to make her have to do.
Interesting.
Edmo wants to also ask, who is going to benefit versus who is going to get screwed in the tribe swap? Now, this is something that you wouldn't have seen, but the commercials that started being on TV like yesterday have kind of revealed a little bit about who's going to be on what tribe. And I won't
tell.
And if you don't want to know, you know, guys, just kind of skip forward like, you know, 60 seconds. But the big
father, this isn't a spoiler. This is I'm going to find out in a second.
People might. So I'm just trying to be cautious.
Very considerate of you.
Thank you. The main thing that they've been pushing is that it's the battle between AK versus Tara. Like, rivals have joined up again, and they're kind of, this epic battle is going to happen. And I'm scared. I am really scared, Adam.
That AK is going to go?
Oh, yep. I am. It's AK is by far my favorite on the show. There's lots of other people I'm loving, but AK is my rooting.
Adelaide, right?
Sorry?
He's from Adelaide,
right? Adelaide boy. But beyond that, I just think he makes such great TV. I am so worried that the swap is going to screw him, because the previous swap has sent over people that did not like him to Asanga, who have now poisoned their everyone against him. You even heard when they kind of like came back from the puzzle that Annalise beat them in. I think it was in episode, the reward for episode 10. And they're like, oh, did you see AK's face? Sucked in, Annalise, you beat him, kind of thing. They're all now anti-AK, and I can't see him getting out from underneath having like 15 people in the game not like him.
All right, well, who's his tribe?
There's reference that he's on the blue tribe with, you know, I think it's Tara, and I think he's with Luke is the other person that they show him with. I don't know.
You don't know the whole tribe.
No. They just showed a couple of people with blue buffs wandering around.
Okay.
I can't see him getting, like, I hope he can. I think he has the skill to get out of it, but sometimes that's just not enough and the numbers don't stack up. And I am freaking out for AK.
Watch AK just totally, like, realize that his ship is sailing and just jump ship to the other side and take out his own alliance.
Oh, that would be epic. That would be epic. Okay.
That would still be something that he would do, right? Definitely. He'd be like, well, definitely. I don't have numbers anymore. Like, Luke, I'm your boy. Like, you and me, Luke, all the way.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay. Would the idol challenge have... So Michael Butler asks, would the idol challenge have been more exciting if the whole tribe hunted for each half of the idol? Maybe one person could get both halves, or different people get separate idols that could be used in unison. So was there any, I think we've already covered this, but what do you think about it being the whole tribe getting to search for it, or, you know, the whole tribe or a couple of people or something like that?
But then we don't get all the fun of, like, seeing, like, who they're going to vote for at tribal council, like people trying to jock to get the advantage.
True. Owen Knight says, so I don't know if you guys know this, if there's a international listeners that aren't aware that Channel 10 has been in a bit of financial strife. And this week it's been announced that CBS has acquired Channel 10, or is in the process of acquiring, which people think is really good news for Survivor moving forward, because obviously Survivor is like one of the crown jewels of CBS. So it says, with the
final tunic,
the pipe dream. This is the question, the pipe dream of a US AU crossover or all-star season. And this is a question that comes up all the time. If you had a tribe of six, three Americans and three Aussies, who would you want? And don't include me.
Why can't I include you?
Okay, fine. Include me.
All right. Not you. I don't know. Why don't you pick the Americans and I'll pick the Australians.
Okay, go. You go first.
Okay. I'll pick you.
We're doing it one by one. I will also pick you.
Okay, this is boring.
Okay,
go.
This is why I said it. You wanted to start this.
See, this is tough because I can't just pick people that I want to work with. We have to, like, have people that we're going to vote out too,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. So maybe one you want to work with and one person you'd be happy to get rid of.
Oh, God. This is tough. Okay, I'll pick Jericho.
Very good. I'll keep with your season. You know, I'll keep in the kind of your season vibe. I'm going to go with Brett. I think Brett.
I like the pick.
Yeah, I think he's safe. I think, you know, the obvious choice would be like, yeah, let's play with David and stuff. But I think that Brett would be a solid ally, a lot of fun, good in challenges, someone that I could work with.
Okay. Now, who are we going to vote out? Oh, no. Shoot. Someone. Okay, maybe. Look, I think Lockie plays his role at the bottom of the tribe really well. He helps out in challenges, but then if they lose, they can vote him out, right?
Sure.
Wait, and now I'm choosing all guys. I can't do that. We have all guy tribe. This is no good.
My pick's a girl. Pick a girl. Go. Quick.
Okay.
Jeff wouldn't let you get away with this, how long you're taking to answer this question.
Ziggy.
Okay, good. Well, I was going to pick Figgy to round out the whole Iggy thing, but
Figgy, I like that.
I think I'm going to go with Hannah, actually.
Okay.
I think I like that Hannah is someone who I could work with, but I probably wouldn't feel bad about voting her out either.
I'm going to have a real hard time voting somebody out of this tribe.
Very true.
I might have to vote you out.
Yeah, that's fine. You look.
I'm not voting Jericho.
I wouldn't blame you, mate. I wouldn't blame you.
I like Ziggy.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like Ziggy?
Ziggy's good. Ziggy's really good. And I'm glad that she's kind of starting to be shown a bit more.
She's athletic. She's nice. She's smart. She's good looking. She could do real well. And now she's got these advantages.
Catherine Lucas says, since Australian Survivor seems to be looking for new twists to implement, can you come up with other possible super idols? What other advantages other than chicken idols could be out there?
Okay, here it is. You ready? Here's the Adam idol.
Okay, go.
Okay, because Australian Survivor needs ways for people to not get voted out at tribal council, but I don't like when it's random and the players don't have control.
Okay.
So at an immunity challenge, you say, okay, there is an advantage up for grabs in this challenge. It will be good for the person who gets it and for the tribe of the person that gets it. So that way it gives people a little bit of an out to actually go for it. You know, they're not going against their tribe.
Mm-hmm.
The advantage is to your left. The challenge is to your right. The more people you have working on the challenge, the easier it's going to be, the more likely you're going to get immunity. But you can also go for the advantage. So they go for the advantage. Someone gets the advantage. The advantage is it's an idol. It's called the Atom Idol, of course, that when you play it at Tribal Council, after the votes have been cast, it cancels the Tribal Council. Nobody goes home.
Ooh.
So it's like what they did with, you know, with Cat, when like Cat didn't go home or whatever because Pete dropped out.
Yeah.
Right. Was a thing. It's like that, except it's in the hands of the player. It's not just a surprise. It's the players deciding when that happens.
I love it. I think it's good. Putting my producer hat on, I don't think they want the contestants in charge of the shooting schedule because that would really muck up their numbers and things like that. So I think it would have to have a limit on it. So it's in episode 2 or 3. And you can have to use it before the merge, or but before day 30.
Definitely have to play it before the merge because it's for a pre-merge.
Yeah, sorry, of course. Council. Yeah, I just think there needs to be like some rules that say like you've got, you know, maybe like the next time you go to tribal council, you can cancel it. You know, like I think that's kind of like a thing. But I love the idea. I think it's a good way to, like you say, give the contestants the control, but also provide like a non-elimination episode, which Australian Survivor needs. Very good. Well done. Branding needs some work. The idol, Atom Idol, not great.
Atom Idol does that has a great ring to it.
Sure.
Okay. How about the Atom? Okay, Atom Klein Idol. Is that better?
Now that's better. That's better.
There we go. We call it the AK Idol.
that could get confusing in this season. Okay. At last, I've got two more questions for you before we get to our awesome game. Adam Ritter wants to say, did you at any point consider giving one of your clues to someone in order to paint a target on their back?
I've actually thought about that since the most recent Australian Survivor episodes. It's just that's the beauty of this show is that it evolves and you learn things by watching other seasons. I didn't even consider using my clues to like replant them and hope that like someone finds it and like they go on a wild like chase for nothing. But that's kind of fun.
I considered, but everyone already knew everyone in the vow knew the actual wording of my clue, so I couldn't do that. But
yeah.
Last question is this from Mar Barboa says, all the older contestants are now gone. The oldest one left is Michelle at 33. Is it safe to say that a millennial will win this season too? Go team millennials. I wonder if I'd have to check Odette's age, but I would assume that Odette was older than 33.
Yeah, Odette is younger than Michelle.
Let's take Mar Barboa's word for it. But they all are quite young, so maybe Odette sits out of the, you know, there. But like a lot of the older people are gone. What do you make of that?
Well, first of all, is Michelle a Gen Xer or a millennial?
Oh, I think God, let's not start this again.
But could Michelle win?
I'm not seeing it. Not seeing that.
Look, anything is possible. The way that Australian Survivor is edited, like I would not have predicted that Christy was going to be the winner at any point last season.
Me neither. All right. let's.
I don't know what to make of that. I mean, I think it's not that outrageous in the game of Survivor that older people get voted
it is crazy that it's nearly they're all gone, but anyway we're going to move on because we have a game here and it's the return of idiot versus idiom. So we played this with Rob in the first episode, and everyone loved this. It is a game that in that version, Adam, what we did is we told Rob a few phrases, and some of them were Australian idioms and some of them were completely made up. He had to guess which ones were which. He won. He won the game. I've tweaked it a little bit with Shannon. And again, the great Shannon Gates, hit her up on Twitter. She is an absolute legend. Like you said, you've met her. She has come up with a bunch of Australian idioms, and these ones are all true Australian idioms. You have to guess what they mean. Are you ready to play?
I'm ready. Bring it on.
And you can all play along at home. So I've got a few here, and then we'll see how we go.
No Googling.
Sorry?
But no Googling.
No Googling. No Googling. Okay, ready. First one. Carrying on like a pork chop.
Carrying on like a pork chop. I don't know. You're like complaining a lot?
I'll give that to you. Yeah, I'll give that to you. It's like, you know, behaving foolishly, kind of like, you know, complaining. Yeah, that I'll give it. Ding, you get one. Well done.
Oh, all right, let's go.
Okay, suss it out.
Oh, suss it out, like figure out what's going on.
Very good. Ding, 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 ding.
Look, I spent a month in Australia, man. I pick up on the slang.
Well, this is why, and I was going to mention that like when we were here, we had so much fun kind of like talking about Australianisms, and you loved the word wanker. That I thought we'd play this game. Okay, ready? Next one.
Bloody wanker.
Yeah, bloody wanker.
It's all right. Sky. Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, nah. Nah, yeah.
Next one. A dingo's breakfast.
A dingo's breakfast. Maybe like you're like easy. I haven't heard this, but like, are you like easy pickings? Like you're Odette is a dingo's breakfast on the Sangha because she has no more allies left.
Not correct. Uh-huh. It means to not eat breakfast.
Oh, they don't eat breakfast, huh?
Yeah, apparently. All right, next one.
All right. The more you know.
A drop kick.
A drop kick? I mean, I know what a drop kick is. It's when you, like, drop the ball and, like, kick it.
It's not that.
It's not that. Like, when you just take a real low blow at someone?
It's a no-hoper, someone who's just kind of like a bit useless and a bit of a no-hoper. Yeah, he's a real dropkick kind of thing.
Oh.
So you are 2-2. Okay, ready? Next one. A few roos loose in the top paddock.
I'm guessing that's what's the equivalent American saying? A few screws loose in the... they're dumb.
Ding, ka-ching, ka-ching. Well done. Well done. All right, next one. Tits on a bull.
What?
Tits on a bull.
It sounds derogatory. Is this like if someone's being like a crybaby or something and it's like calling them like a little girl?
Incorrect. Tits on a bull is something that's completely useless because a bull doesn't need boobs, so it's, you know, it doesn't have to give milk, so it's useless.
Spewing.
All right, you are 3-3. Okay, we've got two more, so we may have a draw, but let's give it a go. Ready?
Oh god, there's a lot of pressure now. All right.
Face like a dropped pie.
Oh, well, I'm assuming this just means like really ugly.
Yes, it does. Congratulations. Yeah. Last one.
Thank you. I heard that one. People walk down the street and said that about me every day in Australia.
Okay, last one. You ready?
Yeah.
To get
the win.
To put the wobbly boot on.
What? Oh, I thought you were saying, like, this is the last question, and if I win it, I get to put the wobbly boot on. Like, this is the prize. I was like, that's what we're playing for?
You're playing for glory.
To put the wobbly boot on. I'm going to guess like you're hammered. You're just super drunk.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes!
You are the official winner. Winner, winner, winner.
Yes.
Well done. Well done, Adam. See, that all that time that we spent together in Australia really kind of wore off, and you learned something. You learned something.
The only one that I actually knew was Suss It Out.
Well, there you go. Yeah, and I didn't know if that one was something that Americans said, but there you go. I hope I'd love to know how you went at home. So hit us up with your scores on Twitter. Well done. There's one more thing that we need to do, Adam, and that's
when we get to play the Dez game.
This is the Dez game. This is the Dez.
Yes.
Now, a few weeks ago, we had Dez on the podcast, and if you haven't checked that out, you have to, because Dez is the best. And we gave out the honorary, we call it the DQ award, and this is the award for the best confessional of the week. We will read you three. You have to choose who gets this week's DQ award. And before we start,
get rid of me fast, they're gonna be in trouble.
Before we start, and while you've got your Dez impression going, can I just say, we achieved something amazing as a community. Do you want to know what that is?
What did I do?
Not you. You did nothing. We, the we got Dez on Twitter.
Yes!
Everyone, go.
That's all right.
Go open up your Twitter and follow Dez. He writes the funniest, sometimes nonsensical, he's just great. Like, he's just great. He has, let's check. He's been on Twitter for, you know, a couple of weeks now. He has 185 followers. So we can get that number up, guys, and you will not be disappointed. So it's at Dez Quilty. Okay. Go out
Google
and do it.
Has not figured it out yet. If you search Dez Quilty Twitter, it has not figured it out yet.
And that's the funny thing. He's figuring out Twitter as he goes along, and it is so good. He sent a tweet out saying at Jared Singh, who's on from the season, I hope this is a private message. I hope this is a private message, but and he started speaking to him, and like, and it wasn't, and Jared told him it wasn't, but he is just great. Dez is just one of the highlights of the Know-It-Alls this year, along with having you on there. So in honor of Dez, let's give out the DQ award. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a little distracted because I'm reading all of Dez's tweets.
Okay.
Right now.
Save them. Okay. Let's concentrate. This is big business here. Okay. First thing.
Okay. I'll try to.
Jericho, in the middle of the reward, and when in the middle of a conversation where he reveals he's lactose intolerant, he says, I think if Survivor was about who could eat as much ice cream, I'm already sole survivor. Now that I've had like 15 ice creams, I don't know how it's going to sit when I get back to camp, but I know that right now I feel good.
I love Jericho. That's good.
Luke, when Luke caught two sharks and they were confirmed that they were both bigger than Lockie's, he says, I can't wait to show Lockie. He's going to be sitting there with a leaf fanning me. How do you do it, brother?
Luke has the best confessionals.
And the last one is AK saying, Henry is extremely smooth and he's a good-looking rooster. He's the healthier version of me, which I hate.
Oh,
Adam,
man.
Who gets the DQ award this week?
Oh, man. I have to imagine Luke has already gotten a lot of them, right?
Kent got the first one, Jackie got the second, and AK got the third, or some combo of it. Actually, there was a fourth one as well. I think Luke may have gotten only one.
So if Luke doesn't have one, Luke is overdue for a Dez Quilty. He gives the best confessionals. So I'm going Luke on this one.
Ding, 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 ding. Congratulations, Luke. You are the official recipient of the week 5 DQ award. Well done. And yes, he does give the best confessionals.
It's not just what he says, it's how he says it.
It's how he says it. And me reading them out does not do them any justice.
It does not. You did terribly, Nick.
I'm spewing. We need a hashtag to get us to the end of this episode. It was a long one. It's probably our longest one to date. So thank you so much for sticking around. And if you're out there and you made it to the end, I appreciate it. Adam appreciates it. The universe appreciates it. Dez appreciates it. We need a hashtag. And we want you to hit up Adam and I on Twitter, at Nikai Danza. What's your Twitter handle, Adam?
At Adam Scott Klein.
Adam Scott Klein. Let us
know. Instagram at Survivor Adam.
Survivor Adam. Who knew that one day when you made that when you were a kid that you would be able to still be Survivor Adam?
Yeah, I know. That's been my username forever. It wasn't just because of the show. That's how big of a super duper fan I am.
All right, super duper fans. Okay, use this. Which hashtag? Have you got any ideas?
Oh, geez.
I've got a few. Tell me which one.
Yeah, shoot me.
Okay, we've got hashtag kissing booth. Hashtag cone on cone.
Cone on cone. I like that.
Hashtag the Adam Idol.
Ooh. I'm biased.
Tits on a bull.
No.
And the wobbly boot. Which one do you want?
Well, I'm biased for the Adam Idol.
The Adam Idol?
It's a little into myself.
It is a little. Let's go. I like cone on cone.
I agree. Cone on cone. But I think we need to promote the Adam Idol for the next season of Australian Survivor. But cone on cone is unquestionably the best Twitter hashtag for this episode.
Okay. Everyone, tweet us. Hashtag cone on cone. Adam, that brings
tell me your thoughts on the Adam Idol.
Yes. Also, hit us up about that. We would love to hear. And anything that we've said, if you're not following me on Twitter, if you're not following me on Instagram, same as Adam, hit us up. Like, I love hearing from you guys in the comments, but it's direct message me. That's fine. I love kind of chatting to you guys. There's a lot of cool stuff to talk about this season. So hit me up. Adam, I just want to thank you so much for coming on and chatting. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to chatting again soon. And just thank you so much.
I'm just glad I got caught up.
Yes.
You know, with so many episodes a week, man, it's easy to fall behind on this stuff. And I've been traveling a lot.
I'm very impressed. And everyone thanks you for it. Guys, next week we have a recap where we're going back to the Aussies. I'm sick of having the Yanks. So we're back to the Aussies, and we've got Connor, my old tribe mate Connor, which is going to be so great. And I have not had a chance to catch up with Connor since I voted him out. So this will be a great convo. Yeah, because
this is the first time you're going to talk to him.
Oh, we've spoken, but like to catch up properly, like in detail, like it was very very brief convos. So I'm looking forward to kind of like chewing the fat with him. So yeah. Look out for that. And look out for the exit interview with Kent coming up later in the week. Thanks so much, guys. And Adam, take care.
Thanks, Nick.